Hello, my name's Simon Walden, and welcome to the latest podcast from FilmPhotoAcademy.com. In today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about using layers in Photoshop or PaintShop. If you've listened to one of our earlier podcasts, you'll know that I'm a PaintShop user, but the principles are exactly the same. So first of all, let me talk about what a layer is. When you first open up a JPEG file, say, you will see that you've got one image, it's one layer, and it's called background. You can duplicate that layer, or you can create new layers, and these layers stack on top of each other, image upon image upon image. And it's like looking through a series of acetate gels so that the top layers are more visible than those below them. Each layer can contain its own content and be completely different. You can apply masks to an individual layer. So let me just give you a very straightforward example. Let's say we have two layers. The bottom layer is a picture and the top layer is some text. The text clearly appears above the picture. You may, if you want to kind of think this through, something like montages, you might have the top layer is a cutout of your subject and the bottom layer is a background image of something completely different. Check out the help files on layers. The first couple of times you use them, they kind of seem a bit obscure, but once you get into them, they're very straightforward, very simple, and a very, very powerful tool. So, I'm going to talk about a few of the aspects that I use layers for on most images that I work on. The first bit I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about layer blend modes. Now, the default blend mode is that whatever is in the uppermost layer obscures everything below it. Dead straightforward. But you can also make the layers interact with each other. Fire up your photo editor, open up an image, duplicate your bottom layer, find the blend mode, and set the blend modes to screen. What screen does, it sort of multiplies up on the lightness of an image. It's a great and simple way of fixing underexposed images. You may well find that the default setting of 100% opacity on the screen mode is way too bright, but you can just pull down that opacity until you get down to the exposure level that you need. This is surprisingly quick and effective, to my mind, often produces a better result than using curves or levels to adjust the overall exposure of an image. It produces a more gentle effect in terms of increasing the overall exposure. There's a reverse to this for an overexposed image, and that's the blend mode multiply. It takes an overexposed image and it drops the light levels down. You can even use a couple of layers where you may say lighten up the area around the subject's face, for example, and use a multiply layer to darken the areas around the edges. And you would use a mask to mask out those areas that don't need to be adjusted in their exposure. Or you can just use the delete tool and delete areas of the layers. There's one other blend mode that I use a lot, and that's soft light. And this is kind of like a sort of a weird combination of both screen and multiply, in that lighter areas get lighter and darker areas get darker. The immediate effect of this is essentially is to increase the contrast of your image, where the midtones remain reasonably constant, but out at the edges you get a stronger effect. It's a very quick way of creating quite a punchy image. So again, you might want to duplicate the layer, set the blend mode to soft light, and again drop that opacity down until you get the sort of the punchiness that you're looking for, the contrast that you're looking for. One of the features that first showed up in Lightroom is a thing called vibrancy. And what this does is it enhances the color punch of an image. And it's quite sneaky. What it does is it essentially enhances the concentration, the saturation, in the darker areas of the image. Now this is clever because it means that your skin tones and so on tend not to get messed about. So you'll end up with a nice skin tone, but the colours of the surrounding area are much stronger. So here's how you set that up. Again, duplicate a layer, and you want to add some saturation to the top layer Not too much. You want to sort of go to a point where it's not oversaturated, but there is quite a strong amount of saturation in it. And then you're looking for the thing that says blend ranges. Now these are controls that say only show this top layer when the level, the overall luminance level is, say, very dark or very light or so on. And what you're looking for is you get sort of two sliders. You're looking at the very top slider and you slide the right hand arrow all the way across to the left. So what you've got is a triangle of blending. And what you're setting it for is so that the blending is at its strongest when the image is dark and there is no showing of the image of the top layer when the image is light. So basically that takes your saturated image and it's only showing the saturated image in its darkest tones. There's another trick which is the exact reverse of this, which is to desaturate the dark areas. And that gives you quite a sort of a fashion-y look. It's quite a common look at the moment. It's exactly the same process. You duplicate the layer, you call up the saturation tool, but this time you're decreasing the saturation. Leave a little bit of colour in there, but not a lot. And again, go to the blend ranges and set it so that it's only blending the top layer in the darkest areas. Okay, a couple of more straightforward uses of layers. Skin smoothing. There's a couple of different techniques for this. The most common one and starting point is usually to duplicate a layer, run a Gaussian blur of maybe about 20 pixels on the top layer, and then pull back the opacity of that layer until you get an overall look that's right for your image. What I do, particularly in portraits, is I will do that and then I will erase out around the eyes so the eyes stay nice and sharp, and possibly also the hair as well and any other details on clothing. So areas that I still want to maintain a level of sharpness, I'll just delete them out of that Gaussian blurred layer and let the blur apply particularly across the skin tones. However, these days I use a package from Kodak called Digital Gem Airbrush. It basically does the same thing, but it understands about retaining some level of detail in the image as well. And it uses some clever software smarts to make sure that it's smooth areas of tone that are softened out, but high contrast areas, i.e. areas of sharpness, are left as they are. The thing about this tool is that if you use it at 100%, it looks a little plasticky. So what I do again is I apply it to a duplicated layer and just pull back the opacity of that layer. And again, I might paint out in particular hair. Hair, when it's softened using this technique, can look a bit odd. Almost looks like it's sort of painted on. So again, just delete away the stuff that I want to retain a nice sharp tone to. And just talking about sharpening, here's a really clever trick for producing punchy images. And it's a thing called edge contrast enhancement, and basically involves running the sharpening tool Unsharp Mask twice. You use it once with a very small radius but a very strong strength, and what that does is it crispens up all of the edges, but not in the way that produces detail, but just adds contrast around the edge zones. And then I'll run it again, this time to sharpen up the actual image itself. So again, here's my sequence. I duplicate the layer, I apply my first sharpen. Now this is with a radius of 0.5, a strength of 500 and a clip value of 0. And then I run the sharpen again, this time with a radius of 10 and a strength of 30 with a clip value of 0. What that does, it both sharpens the image and enhances the overall edge contrast too. Again, that effect on its own can be quite heavy. So what I might do is I might run that on the whole layer, and again with the portrait, this time I'm going to delete out any of the skin area because I don't want those skin tones being sharpened up, but leave it around the eyes and around the hair and so on. Another way of using layers, background cleaning. I shoot a lot of stuff in the currently fashionable White Cove setup. And you'll know if you've done this is that it's ever so easy to get tiny little marks on the White Cove or just little details, or maybe the tonal range in the background isn't quite as it should be, and more often the floor's always got footprints, scuffs, heel marks, shoe marks on it. So I select the area that I want to clean up, I duplicate that layer, I then invert the selection and delete everything else, and invert the selection again. So what I'm left with is a duplicated layer. The only thing that's selected and the only thing that's on that layer is the area that I'm cleaning up. I then apply a really heavy Gaussian blur, 100 pixel Gaussian blur. That basically wipes the whole thing out, removes any detail from that layer at all. Then I'll apply about a 5% noise to it, Gaussian noise, and that just puts a little hint of texture back into the image, otherwise it's just too heavy. And there you go, instant clean background. You can also use layers for color toning. A number of different ways of doing this. I'm going to describe just one of them. Duplicate the layer, apply the saturation control, but this time you're going to select it for colorize. And in the colorize, you're going to set the tones to get a monochrome image in an appropriate color sequence. So let's say you're just going to go for a straight monochrome in a sepia tone. So you're just adjusting the hue and the saturation sliders until you get a sort of a nice sort of orangey tone set there. Again, that effect may well be too strong, so again you can reduce the opacity of that layer and you get a nice mix of a sort of subtle colors poking through that monochrome finish. And lastly, very common retouching thing now is to lengthen girls' legs. So again, I duplicate the layer. And what I do is I remove the top half of the girl. So basically I'm selecting the area down to just below her hips. So, and then I remove that. So what I'm left with is just her legs on one layer. Then I use the free transform tool and I just drag that down at the bottom, just extend those legs out, not very much, otherwise it starts to look very fake very quickly. Just a difference of 3, 4, 5% is enough just to give the visual sense of longer legs without them actually looking distorted. So there's a whole bunch of tools there. I've not even talked about adjustment layers. These are where you can apply effects to a particular layer that applies to everything below. And it's a non-destructive edit. And that's one of the great things about using layers, is you can kind of stack them up, even if you've just got several duplicates of the same image stacked up as layers, but you can tweak different parts of the layer, apply color saturation, toning, whatever, and delete everything else you don't want. So your final image is a composite of layers where different parts of the image have been worked on. And it's essentially non-destructive to that bottom layer, so you can always go back to it and start all over again. Okay, so that's layers. If you're not using layers in your software package, you need to go out, read the help file, just have a little bit of experimenting. It actually is very easy once you get the hang of it. It'll only take you half an hour or so, just fiddling around with those layers to understand how they work. And then it's a question of applying techniques and building up a repertoire around using those layers. I think there is probably not a single image that I create now that does not use a layer. Okay, and thank you very much for listening to this podcast from filmphotoacademy.com. Don't forget to drop back to the website. You'll find supporting materials for these podcasts, as well as being able to look at the DVDs that we have on sale. They're great DVDs covering all sorts of topics, but at the moment focusing principally on glamour photography and fine art nude photography. Some really great stuff there. You'll also be able to find the pose book, which has been our longest selling pack for a long time. 650 poses that you can take into a studio and work through. Lots of other information too. So, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Family Smiths were sadly unable to conceive children, and they decided to use a surrogate father to start their family. And on the day the proxy father was to arrive, Mr. Smith kissed his wife and said, "Right, I'm off, and the man should be here soon." Half an hour later, just by chance, a door-to-door baby photographer rang the doorbell, hoping to make a sale. "Good morning, madam. I've come to..." "Oh, no need to explain. I've been expecting you," Mrs. Smith cut in. Oh, really? The photographer asked. Well, good, I've made a speciality of babies. That's what my husband and I had hoped. Please come in and have a seat. And after a moment she asked, blushing, well, where do we start?
Oh, leave everything to me. I usually try two in the bathtub, one on the couch, and perhaps a couple on the bed, and sometimes the living room floor is fun too. You can really spread out.
Bathtub? Living room floor? No wonder it didn't work for Harry and me.
Well, madam, none of us can guarantee a good one every time, but if we try several different positions and I shoot from 6 or 7 angles, I'm sure you'll be pleased with the results.
My, my, that's a lot of gas, Mrs. Smith.
Madam, in my line of work, a man must take his time. I'd love to be in and out in 5 minutes, but you'd be disappointed with that, I'm sure.
Don't I know it, Mrs. Smith said quietly.
So the photographer opened his briefcase and pulled out a portfolio of his baby pictures. This was done on top of a bus.
Oh, my goodness, Mrs. Smith exclaimed,
tugging at her handkerchief. And these twins turned out exceptionally well when you consider their mother was so difficult to work with.
She was difficult? Asked Mrs. Smith.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I finally had to take her to the park to get the job done right, and people were crowding round 4 and 5 deep, pushing to get a good look.
4 and 5 deep? Asked Mrs. Smith, eyes widened in amazement.
Oh, yes, the photographer said. And for more than 3 hours, too, the mother was constantly squealing and yelling. I could hardly concentrate. Then darkness approached, and I began to rush my shots. And finally, when the squirrels began nibbling on my equipment, I just packed it all in.
Mrs. Smith leaned forward. You mean they actually chewed on your, equipment?
That's right, madam. If you're ready, I'll set up my tripod so that we can get to work.
Tripod?
Oh, yes. I have to use a tripod to rest my Canon on. It's much too big for me to hold very long, madam.
Madam?
Madam? Good Lord, she's fainted.